How is everyone?
Well, Professor's okay. He's got his breakfast. Okay. Right, so last week we were introduced to this concept of Gezeirah Shavah, which is our port key, which was allowing us, even according to the person that holds the opinion that Kerem Ravai, that the halacha of Ravai applies only to the vineyard, right? Seemingly, according to that, we've used both halels, for the first one to tell me you have to redeem it before you eat it, and the second one to tell me that it only applies to something which you sing on, which is grapes, but everything else doesn't apply. So those two halels are used. However, we saw that if we use a Gezeirah Shavah to teach us that Ravai only applies to the vineyard, then the second halel is left over. That Gezeirah Shavah being, because it says Tavua in the verse of Ravai, of the halachas of the fourth year, it says the word Tavua, and we see in another place that it says Tavua, and it's called Tavua Sakerem, which is the Tavua of the vineyard. So just as it says Tavua, it means grapes over there, so too when it says Tavua here, it also means grapes. So therefore, we don't need the second halal to refine the rules of Ravai down to only speaking about the vineyard. Because that one's free, that one's spare, so we've got it for a bracha. But then we ask the question that it's only one. Right? There's only one bracha left. Which one would that be? That one would be the bracha afterwards. Because afterwards is a precedent. We see v'achalta v'savata v'arachta by Birkas HaMazon. Right? That's the bracha after you eat. So too, if we have another bracha, it would be the bracha afterwards. How then? We know you have to make one afterwards. How do we know you have to make one before? And we saw this kal v'chomer. If afterwards you have to make a bracha, which is a much less obvious bracha to make because you're already full, it's already finished. The measure of physical pleasure is the beis habliya, your galut, and it's already gone past the galut. So if you have to make a bracha then before, as you're sitting down, you're all excited, you got your sizzle and the smell of the steak, all the more so you have to make a bracha. So that's how we learnt that out.
So the next question would be, why do you make the short bracha before and the long bracha afterwards?
For me to go last broke after is more proper, because you're happy after the meal and to say thank you. But before, it's not clear. It's only potential.
Right, but we did see last week that this potential gives you more excitement and more pleasure than afterwards, because afterwards it's finished. Afterwards, it's already on its way down to your digestive system. You've forgotten about it. There, the Torah had to tell me, you have to make a bracha. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known. Right, but before, you're sitting down, I'm starving, hungry. I'm excited to have my oatmeal, and I know it's going to satiate me so well.
No, but this is your approach. There is some different approach.
It's going to keep me alive.
This is the approach of the Gemara.
Gemara?
This is the approach of the Gemara. The Gemara said, Kal v'chaymer. Kal v'chaymer means that if we know something is true by a less obvious case, then it's going to be even more true by a more obvious case. The less obvious case was afterwards.
No, but
after you finish eating.
No, but this is what this is your approach. This is more proper before than after, or Gemara.
The Gemara says Kal v'chaymer. If we know that you have to make a bracha afterwards. Which is less obvious to make a bracha.
It's less obvious what's here.
Yeah, this is what it says here. Then before, of course you have to make a bracha, because there's much more of a reason before to make the bracha. So we asked, why should that be? And we explained that in the physical realm, in the physical world, physical pleasure is just a measure of your taste buds. Yeah, that is the physical pleasure. Yeah, once it's finished, once you've forgotten it, you've got the aftertaste in your mouth and you've got the stomach trouble, you know, afterwards. But beforehand, that's when you can really appreciate the smell and the excitement of eating it. That's how we explained the Gemara. But the Gemara made the assumption that afterwards is less obvious than before.
But this is a completely... This is text completely different, but for me, it's before I thank, this is food sent to me. After that, I thank Hashem because I am able to eat it. Who knows, maybe this is food, I'm sick, my stomach is not ready to eat it. But it's a two different approach of how to say thanks. But it means I don't see why this is proper, this is not proper. Both proper.
But it's not about proper.
No, but this is preference. You think this is... After, more reasonable to believe this is before reasonable than after. For me, it's kind of the same thing, because maybe it's because my cannot start studying, I found this is two brochos. This is nobody explained. The first time I see this kind of difference, different accents.
Yeah, yeah, I hear it. It's to be honest, it's something. It's a question that I was always bothered with as well.
There's two reasons to make a broth on the food. One reason is because for taste, and another reason is for nutrition. So before you swallow the food, you've got both the taste and the potential nutrition. You can say, "Oh, this is nutritious." After you swallow it, you nothing to do with taste anymore. That part's gone. But you can still appreciate the fact that you're getting it. You're going to get the nutrition from it. And there's your kal vachomer also.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You only got
I hear
one
that.
Before you had two, so you can apply. You can bring it up to the two.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk.
I also had a different. I had another mashal as well, another analogy to explain it as well that I came up with a while ago. Is if you ask someone to do a big favor for you, and they accept, yeah, you ask them, would you mind, you know, driving all the way to Brookline for me to pick up some milk from the butchery. And they say, sure, no problem, I'll pick it up for you. Really? You'll pick it up for me? Wow, thank you so much. And then, right, when they come with the milk, okay, shkoyach. There's a certain appreciation that you can have before the fact that doesn't come afterwards. Right, before the fact, there's this like added level of appreciation, the fact that, like, wow, you're actually going to do that for me? You've given me this food. You've given me this food. I'm in such desperate need of this Chalav Yisrael milk, and you'll go ahead and get it for me. Thank you so much. And afterwards, all you have is the pleasure of, okay, now I've got the milk. Thank you.
No, this works.
Yeah, that works.
Because you ask.
Okay, that's another muscle.
You ask right. But this is different. If you ask right, you expect two different answers. One answer, don't know.
It could be no.
If you ask somebody to take a ride, somebody said, I know, I cannot do it. And if somebody say yes, this is you're happy.
Right.
But in food, it's food before you. It means nobody take it from you.
Yeah, but there's an appreciation. Ah, God, you've taken care of it. You've given me this delicious food. Wow, thank you so much.
Okay, let's go.
I don't know. Okay, think about it. I'm going to be honest. When I first learned this many years ago, I was bothered by it. And I every time I learned it again, I struggled to understand it. So I have the first understanding. That's this mashal about the milk. That's what came to me. And then the second one is this idea of the physical pleasure.
Interesting. How they talk.
Right. Anyway, so that's what we saw. We saw that we can get a bracha before, we can get a bracha afterwards. We have this kal vachomer. If we're using the gezeirah shavah, we're left over with one bracha, and then we have the kal vachomer to teach us the second bracha. Yeah. But the problem is now, though, if we're learning this Gezeirah Shavah, right? The Gezeirah Shavah teaches me that Ravai only applies to the vineyard. Therefore, I'm left with one more Hallel by Ravai to teach me you need a bracha. And we know that just as you need the one afterwards, you also need the one before. What's the bracha going to go on? What do you have to make a bracha on? Where's this? Where's the Hallel? Where does it say the Hallel? By Ravai. What does Ravai apply to?
Vineyard.
Vineyard, grapes. So you're going to make a bracha on grapes. Shkayach. What if you have a drink? What if you have a piece of cake? What about anything else you're going to be eating under the sun?
Question.
Yeah, good question. It's not my question. It's the question of the Gemara. Have a look in the Gemara. The last word of the line is Ashkachan. It's one line up from the Tosfos that says Tenach. See this one here?
Okay, got it.
Right there. So Ashkachan Kerem Shar Minin Minayin. We find Kerem. Okay, vineyard. Great. We've got a bracha on grapes. Shkoyach. Shar Minin Minayin. Where are all the other minim, all the other types of food? How do you know you have to make a bracha on all of those? Good question. Very good question. Obvious question. Yeah, why didn't we think of it? Okay, we obviously weren't thinking. But thank God we have the Gemara who went ahead and asked the question for us. So we know that on grapes you have to make a bracha. From this pasuk, from this verse, from this halal, we've got a bracha on grapes. But how about all the other produce and everything else under the sun? Minayin. From where is it to us? The Gemara answers, De Yalif Mikerem. We're going to learn from Kerem. Now this rule is... I told you we're learning a lot of 13... What page was it? Barry, what page was it?
Lamed Hei... from there? About 39, 49, someplace like that.
49, okay, good. Mibinyan Av. Now we're going to see the next rule, which is a rule called Binyan Av. Okay, here we go. This is going to be our next rule. What number are we up to so far? We've seen quite a lot. This is the next one. Binyan Av. A general principle derived from one verse is applied to all cases that logically appear to be similar. Right, if you have a rule, you have a certain halacha by a certain subject, and there's a case which is logically very similar to that subject, then logically we can assume that we can use this principle where it says that halacha as a binyan of, as a father figure, yeah, a father building, and then all of the father has kindlach. Right? And the kindlach are all cases that are similar. And so we can apply all cases that logically appear to be similar. This rule is also known as a ma matzinu. Literally, what do we find? For example, since the Torah specifies that one may not marry even his maternal half-sister.
Say that again, slowly.
Since the Torah specifies that one may not marry even his maternal half-sister. Half-sister, mums, right,
okay,
from the same mother. This binyan av dictates that the prohibition against marrying one's father's sister applies equally to his father's maternal half-sister.
I have to draw maps for that.
Yeah, it's from Yavamas. Yavamas means you need maps. You need a family tree.
But this is only about logic.
This is logic. Yeah.
If you're not allowed to marry this one, it's a symmetrical.
Symmetrical case. Yeah. Yeah. Father's sister.
In this case, it's really logical.
Here we go. This is it, right? Now, you're not allowed to marry your sister.
Own sister.
Your own sister. You're also not allowed to marry your maternal half-sister. Okay? You're not allowed to marry... You're not allowed to marry...
A previous marriage?
Yes, previous marriage. Hmm?
From a previous marriage?
From a previous or a new marriage?
All right.
No, mother but not father.
Okay. Yeah. So you share a common mother. So you're not allowed to marry your own sister. You're also not allowed to marry your father's sister. You're not allowed to marry. You're not allowed to marry your half sister, your full sister or a half sister. Your father's sister. You're allowed to marry.
May not.
Your auntie.
Aunt.
Aunt.
No.
Probably. Not allowed to marry.
Why?
You can't reveal your father's nakedness.
But this is not relative.
Hmm?
Aunt is not your relative.
Aunt is a relative.
Relative?
Yeah.
Remote.
You are allowed to marry your niece. That is allowed to be done. That is allowed to be done.
Niece?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It means
a daughter is allowed to marry. A daughter is allowed to marry a father's brother.
Which is the same relation, but that's what the Torah says.
That's what the Torah says. So you're not allowed to marry your auntie, right? Your father's sister. So this logic would say that you're also not allowed to marry your father's half sister, your father's maternal half sister. The same logic. You're not allowed to marry your sister. You're not allowed to marry your half-sister.
Okay.
You're not allowed to marry your father's sister. You're not allowed to marry your father's half-sister. And this is a binyan av. The same rule applies when two different verses shed light on one another. Similar situations may be derived from the combination of... Okay, good. So this is a binyan av. Now we're going to see a binyan av at play right here.
Define logic?
Sorry?
To find a logical case
which is similar, right? A similarity between the case. And we're going to apply the same rule, the same halacha, from this case as a father building to its kindle, to the kindlech, to a child case, which is a similar case, it's logically similar. Okay. So the answer, deyalif mikerem, that we are going to learn out of, we're going to derive from kerem. We're going to use kerem as our father, as our parent logic. Ma kerem, just as kerem, right? Remember, kerem, a vineyard, grapes, that requires a bracha. We're going to derive from kerem to every other type of category of food. How are we going to do this? The Yalef Mikerem, we'll learn out from Kerem. Ma Kerem, just as Kerem, what's the logic? Kerem, Dava Shenehene, V'Ton Bracha, is something which you can enjoy, you can derive physical pleasure from it, right? When you eat a grape, it tastes delicious, it's very nice, and you've got to make a Bracha on it. Af Kol, so too, everything else, every other type of food under the sun, Dava Shenena, Ton Bracha. If you enjoy it, any other type of food you enjoy, delicious, it's tasty, you derive pleasure from it, it also requires a bracha. So this is the logic. The logic is, why do you have to make a bracha on kerem, on grapes? Because you enjoy it. What do we call it? We call it the Birkas Hanehenim. The blessing of pleasure, of physical pleasure. So you have to make we're saying, what is the reason you have to make a bracha on grapes? Because you have pleasure. So too, everything else you get pleasure from, anything else you have hana from, you also have to make a bracha. So this is a binyan av, deriving the logic from grapes to everything else, because grapes is a dava shenehene, v'ton bracha, something you get hana from, it requires a bracha. So too, Kol dava shenena ton bracha. Anything which you enjoy gets a bracha.
So you could say, well, I enjoy going to the circus. Could you make it?
Physical pleasure. Physical, tangible taste pleasure.
But when the Gemara talk about grapes, it means directly grapes or grape wine from grape? Because
What's the difference?
No, there is no any there is no bigger pleasures than wine. Wine is alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. Wine also. We're not specifically talking about wine. Wine gets its own special bracha, which is discussed in the Mishnah. We're not even there yet. But I think we're specifically talking about the grape itself. Yeah, so this is a binyan of. This is a logical next step from kerem. Yeah, if kerem, you get pleasure from, you have to make a bracha. So to everything you have to get pleasure from, you have to make a bracha. Okay, so this is our binyan of. This is our rule, our logical rule. Now,
is this where Rabbi Yishmael gets this, or is this goes the other way?
The answer is that it goes the other way. It goes the other way. The way is according to many. I think we spoke about this at the intro because we were expecting to learn a lot of the 13 middas Torah nidreshes b'hem. But according to some Rishonim, what Moshe Rabbeinu got at Har Sinai was the Torah shebichsav, the written Torah, and not the bulk, the body of Torah shebal peh. Rather, he got the Yud Gimel Midas, got these 13 rules that you can extrapolate the Torah from. Meaning these rules are the key to unlocking the whatever's hidden inside the Torah itself.
And Rabbi Yishmael is presenting these.
And Rabbi Yishmael is presenting them. Yeah, he's presenting those. But certainly, if you would be able to go through the Gemara, you'll see.
Like here.
You'll see. Looking through this Gemara, you'll see. Well, you'll see a bunch of the rules.
But before the conclusion, we need to say brocha for any food.
Right now, that's where we're at.
But it doesn't mean that brocha should be different.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. But. We haven't discussed at this point, and we won't be discussing at this point the nusach, the wording of the bracha. The wording of the bracha is a different discussion. But the fact that you need to make a bracha, that's what we're discussing.
So basically, Rabbi Yishmael isn't saying anything new.
He's not saying anything new. No, he's just culminating. He's accumulating them. He puts them together in a nice succinct way. So we have our binyanav, and from our binyanav, our logical source, we're going to derive to every other case. Now, would there be, let's think a moment, what would be a way of breaking down this binyan, right? We have this binyan, this father binyan. What would be a way of breaking this down? Can you think of a way that we could destroy this logic?
Destroy?
Mm-hmm.
If you take away the symmetry, maybe.
Good. How could you take away the symmetry? Excellent. Right? Because after all, where you're getting that from is because it's logically, they appear to be the same. Right? Logically, they appear to be the same. So if there's a halacha by this one, by this case, which logically is similar to this one, then it's going to apply there. So if we destroy the symmetry, if we can say, well, actually, they're not so similar after all, then that will be a way of breaking down this binyan. Right? Does that make sense?
What do you mean, destroy symmetry?
What do you mean?
It's sort of balanced off. When we talked about the half-sister you can't marry, or the half...
father's half sister,
yeah, or the father's half sister, or the mother's half sister.
Let's keep in theory before we go into specifics of case. Now remember, the binyanav is based on the fact that since our, let's see, what was the wording again?
But this is actually only logic.
A general principle derived from one verse is applied to all cases that logically appear to be similar. Now, we've assumed that these two cases are logically similar, But if there's a way that we can say that they're not similar, after all, then there's no binyan of. We're only able to derive it because the cases are logically similar. If we are able to show that really the cases aren't similar at all, or in some way even, they're not similar, then that would break the link in the chain.
And they'd have to be proven separately.
And then you'd have to prove them separately. You would not be able to derive the logic from the rule from one to the other. Now, in our case, we're going to see that we've assumed, right, because we're using a binyan of, which says that we've had a call it a common denominator, right? The common denominator is that it's dava shenehene ton bracha, something which you have hana from needs a bracha. Also, something else, everything else which you have hana from requires a bracha. And we've assumed that the reason why you have to make a bracha is because you have pleasure, right? And this is similar. You have pleasure here, you have pleasure there, right? And that is the similarity. But now we're going to see that really there's something special about kerem. There's something special about kerem which is unlike any other type of food. If there's something special about kerem that's unlike any other type of food, then we'll say, perhaps, that's the reason why it requires a bracha.
So they're certainly
not similar to say that we can apply from one to the other, because there's something special about kerem. Kerem is different. And what is that thing? Let's see the Gemara. Ikka lemifrach. We can break it down. A pircha is a question specifically which destroys a binyan av or a kal v'chomer. Either of them, it can break down a pircha. So how does this pircha work? Ma lekerem. What about a kerem? Shekein chayev ba'olalois. That it is obligated in olalois. Olalois means, as Rashi points out to us, in the Torah it says loisa oilal. Loisa oilal means that when you are collecting your grapes, when you're harvesting your grapes, you have to be, we know, with all harvest, there's certain rules of tzedakah. You have to leave some of it to aniyim. There's a peah, the corner of the field, you have to leave to an ani. The shikha, which means the stuff which you left behind, you have to leave to an ani. And the leket, and by grapes, a grape harvest, there's something specific by a grape harvest as well, which you have to leave to to an ani, which is oilalais. Oilalais are, normally, if you look at grapes, how does it look? What's the form of grapes? A cluster. Yeah, a cluster, a big bunch of grapes like this. If you would see a string of grapes, not growing a cluster, but growing in a string. So that's called oilalos. And those you have to leave behind for an ani. That is a special rule which only applies to grapes. So what the Gemara is suggesting here is, maybe
you have to cut them off and leave them.
You have to, I don't know whether you have to cut them off and leave them, or leave them on the tree for the ani to take. But those you're not allowed to harvest. Those you have to, you're not allowed to harvest and keep for yourselves. Those are for an ani.
Why here? Chutzlaretz is just.
I'm not sure whether that's a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz or not.
Right.
I'm not sure. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that these cases aren't similar. Kerem is a very, very special mitzvah. Kerem has a rule of oilalos, right? Okay, sorry, kerem is a very specific, special type of produce, grapes. Unlike anything else under the sun, grapes has a mitzvah of oilalos. So perhaps that is going to destroy our binyan, right? And this is what the Gemara suggests. This is what the Gemara says, that kerem, seeing as it has a special mitzvah of oilalos, that destroys our binyan, because we can't compare anything else to grapes, because grapes has a special mitzvah. Nothing else has that special mitzvah.
But this is not logic. Logic, you've said, based for the enjoy.
Good, very nice. But we were only able to apply that logic because we saw there were similar cases.
It's now we see
now we're seeing that kerem is not so similar after all. It's a davar shenena, it's something which you have hanah from, but it's also something which you have a special mitzvah for. So we consider how the technically how we're breaking it down is not just. I think there are two ways of explaining it. One is just to say they're different. They're different, right? We see they're different. Does that change the logic? It's not affecting the logic, isn't it? Because the logic is you have hana, make a bracha. Have hana, make a bracha. Over here, we're just saying they're just different. They're just simply different. That one has a mitzvah. This one doesn't have a mitzvah. Therefore, we've broken our link in the chain. Even though the logic still applies, but the logic can only apply when the cases are, when the subjects are so similar. Yeah, so that is one way of explaining how this pircha, how the pircha works, the destruction of the building works. Another way of explaining it is that maybe we'll suggest that we assume that the reason you have to make a bracha is because davar shenehene. Something you get pleasure from, hana, make a bracha. Hana, make a bracha. We'll suggest over here, maybe the reason why you have to make a bracha is because it's a special thing. Has oilalos. Oilalos is what requires you for the bracha. We don't know what the bracha comes from, why the bracha. We assume perhaps it's because you get hana. Hana, bracha. Hana, bracha. Now we're saying, what do you mean?
But we're not making
there's something special about kerem.
We're not making brachas on all of
those. But we're saying that maybe because grapes are so special, because they have this special mitzvah of olos, grapes get that special bracha.
Okay.
This is a strange approach. You're talking about eating. What is different? What kind of form make food? Cook food? This is, food is only, purpose of food only to eat. This is any food makes something specific. Apple also is not similar to something else. Potatoes different.
No, but when we say something is dissimilar, it has to be tangibly, halachically dissimilar. According to the Torah, it has to be dissimilar, because we're not talking just in well, an apple is green or red, and an orange is orange. Oh, so they're different. No. It has to be from the Torah, because we want to say the Torah shows this binyanav. Now we're saying, what do you mean? The Torah sees that they are not similar at all. The Torah calls them something totally different. The Torah says this is kerem. Kerem has olalos. This is everything else that doesn't have olalos.
But different grapes different because of the form. But what is difference in grape? What's unique? Make unique in grape.
What's unique about grape is not the grape is not the form. It's not the form.
What's
unique is that it has olalos. What is olalos? Olalos applies when it grows in a line, but not because of the form.
No, but pekav is growing.
Mm?
What it means he is growing different ways than another plant. What does mean olalos?
No. Olalos means that when you have grapes which grow like that, there's a special mitzvah of olos.
What means?
It grows in a line as opposed to in a cluster, a bunch of grapes.
No, but this is what I am as a kind of form.
No. Grapes themselves have a rule of olos. That's it. Not because it grows in a specific form. Grapes have this, right? If you would have, if cherries would grow in a shura, in a line, doesn't apply.
But agree, in any food has very something very specific. We are talking about something.
No, nothing halachically specific. Nothing halachically specific.
But this galacha only, because galacha talk only about grape. There is no anything about anything else.
Good.
I can find something very specific any food.
No, you can't.
But
not halachically.
Well, luckily only grape has something very specific.
Good. That's okay. It. So when we're trying to derive a Torah principle of this binyanav, right, the Torah says, we're going to assume that logically, according to the Torah, they're the same. The Torah only needed to say by kerem you have a bracha. Because we can derive Torah, yeah, we can derive from one to the other. But if we see the Torah says that grapes are something totally different, then you can't apply it to anything else. The Torah itself says they're different. If we would say they're different, it's not going to make a difference. According in the Torah's eyes, they're the same. We can derive the logic. But according to the Torah, they're two completely different categories, kettles of fish, or bunches of grapes.
It looks like we cannot apply this logic to another food now.
So now we can't apply the logic to another food. So we now are stuck with just a bracha on grapes. That's it. We wanted to say we have a binyanav. Say no, the binyanav has a pircha. We destroyed the building. The building was based on a logic that they're similar. We see now, according to the Torah, they're dissimilar. They're not similar. Okay?
But this is bracha only with a pure grape. If this is product, these grapes also is not logically to say bracha.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Now, let's go a little bit further. And we are going to reinstate a new binyanav based on a new category, right? We're now leaving behind Kerem, because Kerem is problematic, or Ravai, the Halel in Ravai is problematic. It's gone, right? Because we only have one bracha for grapes. Everything else we can't derive from that. So we're going to have to leave that one behind, okay? And we're going to go over to a new area of Halacha, which is Kama. So the Gemara backs up and says, Kama Techiach. Kama will support. Kama will support. That will be our new source. Now, what is Kama? Kama is grains which grow upwards. Stalks. Yeah, Kama is a stalk. So grains, though, that will be a support for us. Yeah, meaning that, what does grain mean? What is grain, what am I asking? What do you mean that grain will be a support for us? So grain is, what do you make from grain?
Bread.
Bread. What does it say by bread? V'ochalta, v'savata, v'virachta. Yeah? That's a source of a bracha.
But that's also special. But that's also special.
How so?
Because we make a specific hamotzi.
We don't know anything yet. We haven't seen. We haven't seen that it's special halachically.
We haven't gotten.
We just see.
No, but
talking about grain, not bread. It's only talking about grain.
But
yep. So bread, right, or grains? These grains, they require a bracha.
Why?
So. Why? Because it says right after, because Rashi points out that Kama, the Ashkechan de Itzucha Rachmana Bracha, because we find that grains require, specifically grains require bracha, dichsiv. As it says, Toichol bol lechem, you will eat out of this grain bread. V'samichle, and right after that it says, V'chalta v'savate v'rachta. Eat. Be satisfied. Make a bracha. So we know that grains, bread, that requires a bracha, an after bracha. Yeah, Birkat Hamazon.
That's completely not related to the...
We've left Kerem. Kerem is gone. Kerem is gone. That's problematic. That's gone. So what have we got now? We've got bread. Bread, you got a bench on. You have to make a bracha on bread. You have to bench. So now we're going to apply another... Binyanav.
Oh.
Yeah? Binyanav. What's the Binyanav? Dovah shenen evatom bracha. Something which you get pleasure from. You derive pleasure. You enjoy your bread. It's very tasty. It's delicious. You make a bracha. Af. Kol dovah shenen evatom bracha. Anything else which you enjoy also requires a bracha.
But so much we talk about how to find, you need to say bracha about...
Gone.
No, about grape, but
gone.
But only one statement you said.
Finished.
The bread is required brocha. This has come from one source.
This does not come from.
From grain.
It's not coming from a derivative. Remember, we had the halal. Kodesh Elul Hashem. We had a halal. What does the halal mean? And that was the whole question. What is a halal? Do we have a halal? Is there anything left? And what do we derive? And then we have the opinions that halal applies to only vineyard, or does it apply to everything? And we went all around to discuss, to explore the pasuk of Kodesh Elulim Hashem. Now, Kodesh Elulim Hashem is gone, because all it does is it gives us one bracha on grapes.
Yeah, but
yeah. So now we're going to go over to another source, another bracha.
So we have grain, and the professor is eating cereal from grain.
Yeah. But it's not bread. It's not bread. Because why do we know bread specifically? Because the pasuk says, Toichol ba lechem. You will eat lechem. And lechem is a specific type of food. Lechem. You have lechem, you make a bracha. It's something you enjoy, you make a bracha. So to everything else which you enjoy, you make a bracha. Okay? So we're now deriving from, we've left kerem. Kerem we've left on the wayside. We now are using kama. We're using grains, yeah, grain derivatives, bread, namely bread. Bread, you make a bracha, so too everything else you make a bracha.
It means grape is not unique, we can conclude everything, because it's enjoy, and everything now,
right.
Even fish.
Yeah, and our binyan av is now saying that, because these things are similar, logically similar. Something you enjoy, make a bracha. Also something you enjoy, you make a bracha.
But enjoy, this is now is criteria enjoy.
Now, yeah, we've gone back to that criteria.
But, for example, if there is food with no joy, some people are sick because they have some food.
So something which you, which
well,
you, some
like.
Which something which does not taste nice does not get a bracha.
No, but they agree. Some people are sick because artificial feeding.
Through the tube, there's no bracha.
There is no bracha.
Because
no bracha.
It's not natural.
Because there is no joy.
Yeah, because you don't. Yeah, only something that goes down there.
We did not say need to use mouth.
Yeah. We said, what's the measure of pleasure in this world? The gullet. Yeah, the taste buds. That's pleasure.
But what if you don't like
also
it?
Also a smell. A smell. We also make a bracha. Bereim b'nei b'samim. And have dollar. We say bereim b'nei b'samim.
Food should come through the mouth.
Through the mouth, yeah. Food that's going through any other place, that's not any physical enjoyment. You're getting getting nourishment from it, but you're not physical enjoyment. Yeah.
So what if you don't? You have some sort of food that you don't like.
Don't make a bracha.
You don't like? Don't eat it?
Something.
Don't eat
it? Yeah, don't eat it. You're not going to eat something you don't like. If it's something that doesn't taste nice.
You have to eat it, but...
Why do you have to eat it?
Who knows?
For medicinal purposes? If you have to eat it for medicinal purposes...
For nutritional purposes, but you don't like
so,
it.
So if you have to eat it for medicinal purposes, then it doesn't get a bracha.
Even though you're getting benefit from it.
Yeah, you're getting medicinal benefit from it, but you're not getting pleasure from it. So, I mean, we're going to be very loose with this idea of physical pleasure. But generally, yeah, all food is going to be tasty. Something which is not food, you know, that's not tasty. It doesn't get a bracha.
Well, what I'm saying is food that you specifically don't like. You don't like this particular kind of food.
I don't like Brussels sprouts. So I wouldn't make a bracha on Brussels sprouts. No, so there we'd probably, I don't know, I'm not sure. I think we might say Butler Daito Etzel Kol Adam. We'll look at the, you know, general populace and say, you know, most people enjoy this kind of food. So you've got funny taste buds.
So she wouldn't say, I specifically don't like Brussels sprouts, so even though I'm eating it, I wouldn't make a bruch on it.
I don't think you would say that.
You can mix this yogurt.
Yeah,
like.
Because it's you don't like it. It's not to your taste, but it's still got a taste. It still does give a taste. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, to be honest. Yeah. So we've used now this kama. However, again, how do we destroy a binyan av?
This is another destroyer. Bread also doesn't work.
So we've got a problem. Ma la kama, says the Gemara. What about a kama? Kama, this grain, shekein chayeves b'chala. This has a special mitzvah of chala. Yeah, when you make your bread, there's a mitzvah of chala. Chala only applies by kama, only applies by bread. Doesn't apply by anything else. So this, now we have... Challah. We have kama also is problematic.
Does kama apply only to bread from wheat?
No, it applies to any bread from any of the five grains.
Okay.
Only the five grains, though. When you're making your dough, you have to separate challah. That is a special mitzvah which applies to kama, which applies to grains. Therefore, the vineyard we can't use because it's different. There's no binyan of. Yeah? And grains also we can't use. There's no binyan of. It's very special. It's different. Yeah, it's dissimilar to anything else. So we now are stuck. The Gemara now is gonna and we'll end off with this. But the Gemara is now going to introduce a new principle of overcoming a pircha. Yeah, this pircha is we destroyed a binyanav. We destroyed it. Yeah, because we said that it's dissimilar, and perhaps that is the cause. The dissimilarity, that's the cause of it getting a bracha because it's special. It's different. And then we had another one. Yeah, but that one's also dissimilar. So that's special, right? Both of them required a bracha, but they're both different. But now, have a look at this. This is amazing. It's such sound logic. Yeah, so we said, perhaps we can learn from Kerem. No, Ikala Mifrach. We can break it down. We can break down Kerem, Ma'ale Kerem, Shekein Chayev Oilolois. That is obligated. And Oilolois, that's different. So we say, Kama Techeach. Fine, so let's use Kama. We'll learn everything out from Kama. We'll learn everything out from grain, from bread. Says the Gemara, Ma'ale Kama, Shekein Chayev is Bechala. No. Kama, grains is different because that has challah. Kerem techiach. Okay, fine. So we'll go back to kerem. Because kerem doesn't have challah.
But it has its own specific.
Oh. But kerem has oilolois.
Yeah.
Okay, so go back to kama. But that doesn't have oilolois. But kama has challah. Okay, fine. So we'll go back to Kerem, because Kerem doesn't have challah. V'chazar hadin. And then we can just keep going round in a circle. Yeah, we can use our logic to go round in a circle. Loi reizeh karizeh, v'loi reizeh karizeh. This one is not like this, because it doesn't have that. And that one is not like this. That one doesn't have that. And this one doesn't have that. Hatzad hashava shabohen. The common denominator between them is dova shenene v'ton bracha. They both of them, even though they both have their individual specific differences, there is a common denominator, a tzad hashava, a side which is equal. It means a common denominator is that it's something you enjoy, something you get henna from, and it requires a bracha. Af. Kol dova shenene, ta'on bracha. So too, everything which you enjoy requires a bracha. Now, we can't use only kerem, because kerem is different. And we can't use only kama, because kama is different. But if we use them both together, they're both different, but we see they both require bracha.
Specific.
So together, we can say, perhaps, the reason why they require bracha is not because oilolois. Right, because we see something that doesn't have oilolois that also has a bracha. And we can't say that the reason you get a bracha is because of challah, because we see something else that doesn't have challah has a bracha. Rather, those together, we can say that it must be the reason you have a bracha is because of the common denominator, because of the tzad hashava.
They're different from other foods.
No, they're not. They're not.
No, but this is
they're true. The same. They have their individual difference, but together we see they're exactly the same. That is a dova shenene v'ton bracha, af kol dova shenene ton bracha.
Oh,
Akadi, you like it? You like it? Yeah.
It means if somebody wants to prove something, he always finds how to do it.
But logic. This is logic.
Yes, logic. No, but. First, that's a motivation. They try to find a way how to say bracha for anything. Because there is no any source, they make something based for the two cases, find similarities, say basic thing, and derive conclusion. It's nice.
Ah.
There is no any break anymore. This is finally found everything. Or next time.
I didn't say we finally found
a
conclusion.
No, but there is, as usually we say, but.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll see some of that.